All right, Brandon Chalmers, you had an adventure in DC this past weekend.
I not only had an adventure, I had an adventure with you.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah. We, I randomly, not randomly, the short version is we did the Black Cat show in DC. Ross had to take the rig because he had another show to school, and then I needed to go get the rig. So, a little behind the curtain stuff. I drive the Art Fight rig around. That's right. Glitz and glamour. Thy name is Art Fight. So in turn, I ended up having to pop down to Ross's on Sunday, and it was a gorgeous day. And I was like, well, hell, if I'm going to drive all the way down to D.C., I may as well do the tourist thing, because I honestly don't do it that often. And it's really a shame considering how close I am to D.C.
Well, I mean, it is like an hour and a half drive or so. So that's not that close.
If traffic is good, it's 52 minutes from my front door to downtown DC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really, really not that bad. Now, mind you, that's like Sunday morning only, provided that nothing's going on and there's no sort of issues or any of the sort. But yeah, in turn, like it was a quick jaunt down. I parked at Ross's. I took a lift over to the Lincoln Memorial, and then I did the tourist thing. I walked from the memorial all the way through and got a chance to see a lot of really cool stuff and got a chance to hit some of the museums and take a bunch of photos. And then nice. You joined me for lunch, and that was rad.
Oh, yes. We went to the pristine and cosmopolitan art gallery cafeteria.
Yes. The bougie and white as hell cosmopolitan cafeteria, where the average age in that, even with us there, was 65.
Yeah.
And I'd argue that the average income is well over 200K.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you get a nice view of a waterfall thing, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. No, it's super rad. And I think anybody should, like, if you're curious about it, their gift shop is actually really nicely laid out.
Oh, yeah.
In a sense, like, it's very, like, super clean, like, marble mall sort of thing. Like, it's designed to be very open air and very inviting. And yet, like, so it's not like the Air and Space Museum gift shop where it's like, hey, there's a kiosk and there's a spaceship, so you should probably buy the thing.
Like, buy all the stuff.
Ben, the difference in between marketing to old people and marketing to children, that is probably the most core example of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we hit that up, and then we wandered through the sculpture garden, took a bunch of photos, and then went on an adventure to go try and find some museums less traveled. And what we found were locked goddamn doors, because the freaking Forest Service and the printing museum both closed on weekends for some reason.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the only thing I can think of is they're designed to be open for school trips, but man, like, as a kid, I don't know anyone who would be excited to go to, like, the National Forest Service.
Well, I mean, there. I guess if you're really crunchy.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Actually,
yeah.
Cameron's niece and nephew would love that.
Okay.
But they're out in Wisconsin, so.
Okay.
But they, yeah, well, but they would love something like that.
I would love something like that, but the whole idea is that I, an adult taxpayer with a goddamn job, I don't have off during the week, so I can't just randomly do a drop-in with the National Park Service and be like, yo, guys, let me talk about trees and stuff. So I go into town on a Sunday, and I'm like, well, all the other museums are packed. Let's go to the place less traveled. And yeah, I can't.
So sad. Yeah,
you know, honestly, probably the most awkward part about that whole thing was catching a lift in front of the Holocaust Museum.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a thing.
That's kind of rough.
By comparison, honestly, like,
yeah, that museum is, I think everyone should go to it.
Yes.
But it grabs you, and like I could only last a half hour before feeling like I needed to throw up. They do a good job of evoking emotion. So.
Yeah. Any adult, I'd say anyone over maybe the age of like 22. And I think realistically, if you didn't go in your early 20s, man, do you need to go. But if you've got someone that you know who hasn't been and they're in their early 20s, that like, I'm still forming my opinions about the world, and you want to give them a real dose of reality because they're so detached from everything.
Oh, God.
Drag them in there and let them see what the world can be like when all of the bad people are in control. Cause good Lord.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So anyway, not to shit on the Holocaust Museum in any way, shape or form. They're doing a service that I could never do. I couldn't imagine working in that place.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very honorable, but I couldn't imagine going in that place and enjoying my work. Like, it seems counterintuitive.
It's really tough.
Yeah. Anyway, Jesus. So yeah, the important thing though, to a much, much lighter note, the important thing of the trip is we both took a bunch of photos. So taking as many photos as I possibly can, trying to get some trips together. I did a lot of shooting with my fixed focal range lens, as you like to call it, the nifty 50, though for me, 50. Since I have a Micro Four Thirds, it's actually a 25 millimeter.
But you multiply it by two, so you got a 50.
Right. But more importantly, trying to work on all that creamy bokeh is really the point.
Okay. So good.
Yeah. So, doing the best that I can.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't posted mine yet, but I'm working on it. I gotta first dump them off my camera. I was using so my father-in-law is way into photography, and he recently upgraded to full frame. So he's got a D850, a Nikon D850, which is like the top of the line DSLR from Nikon. Mm-hmm. And so he had this D300 body lying around, and he was like, "Hey, you want to use this?" So I was like, "Sure." I've inherited a lot of random gear from people.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So I was using that instead of my D5100, and the viewfinder on the 300 is really nice. Like, you get to see a whole lot of what you're looking at, because the screen is not a live viewfinder. So like, you can't use the screen to kind of compose a shot. You have to do it all in the viewfinder. Whereas this guy, you can actually look at what you're shooting at through the view screen here.
Right. Yeah. I have the same thing for mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, my father-in-law's camera is gigantic compared to mine. It's like,
yeah,
it's huge. The sensor size is the same, which is really weird because I'm like, you would expect it to be bigger since it's a bigger body, but this came out earlier, so it's a little bit more hefty, and it has a lot more features than the other one I have. Like, it has 51 points of focus, whereas mine has like 11. So I have to use a dot to focus in on something and then recompose my shot and then take the shot. Whereas with my father-in-law's, you can just focus, bam, focus, bam, focus, bam.
Yeah. And that's how mine kind of works. Though I'm sure the quality wise, like when you nail a shot, I imagine the quality on his camera is leaps and bounds above mine, just because it has all that extra tech in there. Maybe
I'm not sure. I think
I don't know.
I wouldn't be able to tell, since like, I mean, I don't think you and I could tell.
No, I don't either, which is also why, one, I'm not a professional photographer, and two, I don't spend the exorbitant amount of money on everything. If anyone listening had followed me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers, I posted up a like quick gathering of some of the photos, the big photo dump that I put on Facebook. I thought they looked good. Like,
yeah, I really like some of the shots you got.
Yeah. So there are some things that I wish I would have had a little more time in retrospect to do, like the Korean War Memorial. If anyone's had a chance to see that, the imagery for that is really gorgeous because it's a lot of soldiers that look like they're all in rain gear, like walking their way through bushes, and the way it's designed, it feels very like a snapshot of soldiers in the jungle. And yeah, it's this kind of really cool setup. So what I was trying to get was a lot of like bokeh shots of the actual soldiers' faces. And because of the way that the memorial set up, you can get right up on them.
That's so cool.
I'm using a fixed focal range lens, and I am a foot from the face of everything, like trying to get, you know, upward angles and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, it's a gorgeous memorial in that sense. And like being able to kind of play around with it, there's one sense where like I was really cool. I was really happy that I got kind of like that mixed background of like the bright blue sky with this kind of like haggard looking soldier there. And at the same time, I really wish that it would have been a more overcast sky, so I could have really told a much better story and I didn't have that overhang of light. Yeah. I also did something dumb where I forgot to put the lens hood on. So,
so you got the flaring.
I didn't even really think about it so much. But yeah, like I was really pleased with some of the shots I got, considering it was just a random walkthrough and also my limited amount of stuff. So yeah, it was the fixed range 25 millimeter equivalent Nifty 50, and then my telephoto that I picked up. And for anyone who's curious about it, each one of my lenses were under $200. The Nifty 50 was like 180. The other one was like 195. So all told, my camera gear is worlds cheaper than a lot of others. So if you're interested in getting into cameras, please don't shy away from getting Micro Four Thirds.
It's a good system.
It's a good system. It's cheap. It allows you to kind of get your feet wet. If you're getting serious about it right out of the gate and you're like, no, I think this is something I really want to do, I want to make the investment, I am not a like die on the hill guy one way or the other. I genuinely bought it for two reasons. It was cheap by comparison with the same exact features, and I wanted something lighter to be able to carry around, so I never had an excuse not to bring my camera. That's really it.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Are you shooting in JPEG or are you shooting in RAW? Like the photos when they record to your disc, is it JPEG or like RAW format or whatever?
I think the RAW format.
Okay, because if you shoot in RAW, you can recover some of that sky detail. So like if it's not as overcast as you want it to, you could change like the highlights to make it look a little bit more overcast. So you can see more of the clouds.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I don't like to doctor what I'm shooting too much, because I don't want to make it seem like, one, I'm more talented than I really am, and two, if I go back and I look at the photos later on, I tend to make all edits on copies of photos that I always keep the raw original to take a look at.
Yeah.
But I also want to see my mistakes. I want to learn from them and figure out, like, okay, if I went back to shoot that Korean War Memorial, there are some things that I would really want to do, and trying to, like, remind myself of that. So, like, the next time we plan a DC trip, I want to tear through those photos and go, okay, what did I really like? What did I not like? Like, that Nifty 50 was outstanding for all the interior shots of the Native American Museum.
Yeah.
Like, loved them, especially that statue that happened right at the end. The lighting on that is outstanding.
It looked great.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's cherry blossom season in our nation's capital. And I think this weekend they're supposed to be really good. I don't know what you're doing Sunday, but there are places we could go to check out some cherry blossoms.
I am fortunately helping a one Charm City Shinobi with a home project.
Oh,
I am.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, man. Like, this is the idea, kids, by the way. For those of you who don't have children, don't be a hermit dick. Go help your friends. Yeah. They're going to need help. Because they have kids and they have projects, you should go help them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have one other thing that I want to talk about before we jump into this mess.
Okay.
But like most of my camera gear has been inherited. Like the lenses I've started to pick up, but the bodies have all been inherited kind of.
Yeah.
And apparently my grandfather on both sides, both of my grandfathers had Leicas at some point in their lives. Like they were shooting, you know, manual Leica film cameras and stuff.
Nice. Nice.
And, my mom brought back her father's Leica, brought it over and was like, well, I don't know. You can't use this cause it's film and you don't know what you're doing with film, but it's got lenses. It's got a lens. And this is a screw type lens.
Wow.
So you need an adapter and, I'm picking up an adapter that'll go on here and I can stick it on my camera. But nice. this small sucker is it's a 50 millimeter.
Wow. That is gorgeous.
Yeah. 50 millimeter 1.5. So it's going to have bokeh for days. And apparently, the type of bokeh this one does is apparently really swirly.
Ooh, so, that is sexy as hell.
Yeah. So, it should be interesting. On my camera, it's going to be like a 75 millimeter.
Okay.
But I'm going to try it. It's all manual. So it'll be, we'll see how good I am at getting manual shots. It's going to be awful.
Yeah. But that's the whole point is in the same sense that maybe what we'll both do is we'll leave the other lenses at home. We'll only go out with just fixed range lenses and just go do a thing. We'll go to some sort of like, honestly, I think the museums were great for the interior stuff to be able to kind of focus on things and get really close things.
Oh yeah.
The Air Force Museum wasn't so great about it just because of the sheer size of some of the things, but like,
yeah.
I think if we find a day where it's less crowded, the Natural History Museum and a fixed focal range lens is going to be a playground for you and I. Trying to get good lenses, trying to figure out what we're doing, like trying to work around the reflection of some of the things. But like, I think there's going to be some really great stuff that we can end up getting into.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably do the same thing with like sculpture gardens and all sorts of stuff. Like, I really want to try and get out and get some adventures together. And again, I invite anyone who is within our listening audience, if you want to join us on our photo adventures, let us know. We're more than happy to come hang out and, you know, grab whatever camera you got. Doesn't matter. Bring your phone and just start snapping.
We should set up like an informal like meetup or something. We used to do this thing, Washington Webtoonists. And that's actually how I met Ross and most of our circle of friends now through the Washington Webtoonists. Like we should set up something for like, I don't know, scrubby amateur photographers.
Like, yeah, we're going to have to work on the name, but
Gumby photographers. I'm mixing metaphors now. It's like,
yeah, you are.
I agree. Like I like shooting on primes because it forces you to kind of get familiar with your lens and then actually interact with your subject. I was walking around with a zoom and it's really easy to get lazy with a zoom.
Trust me, all of the shots that I did with the monuments and stuff like that, that's all zoom. But the idea is that like I had to learn my limitations of just, hey, you're outside shooting landscapes. This is what you bought this lens for. Shoot landscapes. The second you get away from that, you have to just switch lenses. You're indoors now. Go to the thing and go take photos of the thing.
All right, Brandon, we have a topic for today.
Oh, shit. And I can already hear some people shifting in their chairs.
And I have figured out a way to frame it so that we're not shitting on people, because I think that's important. So this weekend, while we were out shooting photos, a friend of ours learned that a convention that's coming up this coming weekend, the Regeneration Who convention, I think it was going to be like the fifth or sixth year they've done it. Canceled. Done. Over. They're not having the show anymore. There was an email sent out to all the participants that said, due to cancellations and beyond our control, we've decided to cancel this show. Since then, there has been a lot of speculation about what's been going on. The fan forum for their convention has exploded into wild speculation, and like, just it's messy, because there has been very little in terms of more information. Like, people don't know if they're going to be getting refunds, you know. So, the way I want to frame this is, what to do when your convention gets canceled. Like, how can you turn lemonade how can you squeeze lemonade from a shit lemon, like a lemon that's been like eaten and shat upon? Because if a con is going to cancel, it's usually not the week of the show. It's usually like a couple months out, like, hey, you know, things aren't working out. Our financing isn't coming together. It's usually not a week ahead. This happened again last year. Last year, there was this huge show called Universal FanCon. They pitched it as a inclusive convention for underrepresented fans. And they got a lot of press about it. They ran a Kickstarter. They did all this kind of stuff. The week before the show, they canceled.
Right, but didn't Universal FanCon cancel because of lack of ticket sales?
It's unclear, but they missed somebody somewhere along the line. They missed a payment, so the venue was like, "You're not having your show here." And so, like, in that case, a friend of ours, Keith Chow, who founder of the Nerds of Color, he knew a bunch of people, and in a week's time, he put together an entire one-day convention called WakamaCon at a warehouse up in Baltimore. So in the same general area, if you were going to be a vendor at Universal FanCon, you got a table for free. If you had tickets for Universal FanCon, you got in for free. If you just wanted to come to the show, it was like $5 because they needed to collect some money to cover the rent for the place. But so Keith was able to put the show together last minute. But that's only because Keith knew somebody who had a connection to a building and could get this going and stuff.
Like right. That. Okay. Hang on a second, because I need some clarification on this too, just for curiosity's sake.
Okay.
Keith wasn't actually actively involved in Universal FanCon, right? He was just adjacent to it, correct?
Keith was asked to recruit people to come to the show because Keith has a lot of connections to like what you would consider guests and fans and all that kind of stuff.
But he wasn't an owner.
He was not an owner. No, he was he was not directly involved with the organization.
Right. So just to clarify for conversation's sake, he used his most marketable skill, his contacts, his ability to network as a way to make chicken salad out of the chicken shit that he was provided and wanted to do right by the people that he knew because he knew if he had the opportunity to do right by them, it's the right thing to do, one, but two, it's the sort of thing that people don't forget. And that's an important thing to remember. So
it's slightly different with in this case because there doesn't seem to be any centralized group to kind of unfuck this. Like, there was a guy who tried to.
Yeah, but hang on a second. You just mentioned Universal FanCon. There was no group to unfuck Universal FanCon. There was one guy who managed to feel bad enough for his friends to do the right thing. Universal FanCon didn't do that.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is like there were fans. There was someone involved, well, tertiarily, who had enough connections to actually put together something. So far, the fandom around the Regeneration Con seems to be going in a whole bunch of different directions. Like, there's a group that's organizing a meetup at Columbia Mall. There's a guy who tried, and I love this idea. There's a guy who tried to rent the presidential suite at a hotel to host an event anyway, to just invite people to hang out there and stuff. He unfortunately booked the wrong hotel, and when he tried to get back to the original one, they had already, you know, it wasn't available. But I like that idea. Like, I like the idea of, like, you know, renting a space
if it's, come to the hotel anyway.
Yeah, come to the hotel. Yeah. So it's been a bunch of disparate little things, which I think are pretty good. There's a Facebook group that's trying to host a online artist alley for all the vendors who got fucked over. And that one's a little tough because first you have to be in Facebook, but then second, you know, online sales compared to in-person sales for a convention aren't, you know, it's,
okay.
It's not a quality. Hang on. So, Brandon Chalmers, how do we unfuck this? Like, if we were,
No. Because the bottom line is that you and I would never be in a situation that would allow this to happen. We manage live events. There's lead up for this. There's money. Universal FanCon got fucked because either somebody was lying and stealing money or somebody was so delusional that they thought that they could get away with it at the end.
Right.
Either way, you need a no guy. We've got no guys for days.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue.
Right.
The same thing I find comes into case with this Regeneration Who. And I know I'm probably feeding into some fucking fan theory, but my thought process is as follows. You've already booked the hotel, right? You've booked your ballrooms, you've booked your yada yadas. If you lose a bunch of guests, my first question is why?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not gonna make public speculation or anything else like that, but I have to believe that if you honor a contract that you have made with a guest that does a lot of conventions, and I know these Who people do a lot of cons, they're not going to have a problem getting on a plane and coming out and staying at your hotel and doing meet and greets and signings. And they most certainly wouldn't do it at the 11th hour. It makes them look bad.
Well, that's the thing. They haven't actually said that it was guests canceling. They just said cancellations, which could mean the facility decided that they didn't make a payment or anything else like that. We don't know what the cancellation means. That's why part of the speculation I don't think is as helpful as maybe like trying to tackle it from a fan view. Like if you were
this is a simple solution. Don't be a delusional shithead. Like I don't honestly. Well, because here's the thing. We go back to the same thing. We don't know why it was. It comes back to the same thing. Did you honor your agreement?
Right.
I don't care what the speculation is, whether it's the celebrity guest bailed at the last minute because you decided to suddenly be Darth Vader and change their agreement. Is it that you didn't pay the hotel for the agreement that you contractually got obligated to? Is it because you pissed off your staff and all of them bailed on you because you're a shithead dictator? I don't know. More importantly, I don't care because you miss the same point no matter what. You made an agreement with someone and you dropped the ball so hard that someone told you you have to fuck off now. And that means your roller coaster's done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So I hate to say that it's a simple thing as just honor your agreements. But, dude, we do these things. Honor your agreements. If I signed a contract with Autobar for an Art Fight show and I find out that I'm going to be upside down on money and everything else like that, I'm going out of pocket for it because the venue is going to get paid.
Yeah.
We have a contractual obligation with them. And if we bail on them at the last minute and they don't have something backed up in there, we're still going to have to honor our end of the contract and pay the venue what our agreed upon fee is.
Right.
We can try and save face with fans or whatever it is and say, oh, hey, you know, yada yada happened, or due to scheduling issues or a personal emergency, and we want to honor the people involved. But I can't really think of a scenario where, you know, if I had a personal emergency, you do the show without me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If Marty or Ross have a personal emergency, we do the show without them. If Marty and Ross both have the same emergency somehow, it'll be me and another Art Fighter up there as hosts, and it'll be awkward and a little weird, and we're going to power through it together, but we're going to openly make a statement about, hey, we want to honor and support them. You should come out and tell, you know, and cut videos and tell them how much you miss them and how much you support them, but come out and support your boys because we want to make sure that we're bringing you the thing. I don't care what it is. blizzard, flood, fire, whatever it is, we're doing a show because we said we're doing a show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that stop me. So I lack the perspective and understanding how anyone, especially at that level, especially someone who's successfully done it multiple times.
Well, yeah,
because Universal Fan Con at least had the excuse of being new as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah. And
Regen?
Regen, this was like the fifth one. This was going to be the fifth one or sixth one, but they've done it for years.
That's the point, though, is before they were doing Regen, they were doing other cons.
Yeah.
They know how to do a convention.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they know how to do a convention correctly, whether or not they know how to honor their contracts, whether or not they know how to treat their vendors, their staff, their performers, I don't know. And I'm not going to speculate one way or the other on anything because I don't want to sully anyone's name because I'm not going to be an internet shithead and speculate.
Right.
All I can say is from my personal experience, if something like this happens, it is a gross negligence on the behalf of the organizer, full stop. I cannot figure out another reason because, frankly, the other part of it is if for some reason we ran Super Art Con and we booked a hotel and we did all things Art Fight and we did panels and vendors and yada yadas and yada yadas and I was like 11th hour doing this thing and I collapsed from a heart attack because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
The whole point is that you have to, as a leader, trust in your staff and train them well enough. It's the old Richard Branson mentality. Train your people well enough that they can leave. Treat them well enough that they don't want to. That's the idea. So I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I'm running a con and it's Art Fight centric and we get to the last minute and I collapse from a heart attack, will I be answering phone calls from my hospital bed? Yeah. But if I can't be there, I know that I've got you and Marty and Mikey and the rest of the Art Fight crew and every volunteer because I know that they're there to take care of the thing and I know that they know that I appreciate and I value them and that's the point.
Yeah.
So these things fall apart because of gross negligence and I'm really disappointed that it ends up hurting a lot of people. I'm disappointed that it ended up happening this way. It's one of those things where we've been involved with other conventions, and I don't want to say names or anything else like that, who have been successful and tried to reach out and ended up not getting the job done. And
yeah,
they were smart enough to pull the ripcord before it became a real financial boondoggle on them.
Yeah.
Because they're a professional company and they know what they're doing. You cannot just go into this sort of thing that involves other people all willy-nilly like it's no big deal, especially not expect people to blast you all over it.
Yeah.
The internet's a freaking wild west. Why would you be surprised?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of conversation going on today about this show from people that I know, from people who've run other conventions, from fans, from – like I haven't even dug into like the website and the forums. I treat that stuff like Twitter. It's all trash. Anybody who would bother going on one of those forums is either looking for a fight, looking for gossip, or looking to fight about gossip.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground in between
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a lot of speculation and it's a lot of anger.
Yeah, yeah. No one goes there to get directions to the show. Let's put it that way.
Well, okay, like, so let's tackle this from a different perspective. Let's ignore the organizers and however it fell apart, because the fact is it fell apart. We don't know why. We'll never know why,
right,
unless they tell us. So if we are booked at a show,
yeah,
and it disappears the week of, how do we unfuck that situation?
Guerrilla Art Fight.
Okay. So like all the people that are, so we'll tackle this from the vendor's perspective and then from like a fan perspective. So like,
got,
you know, a vendor perspective, you would set up like a guerrilla artist alley or a guerrilla art fight or guerrilla something.
Yeah, I would. First thing I would try and do is follow Keith's lead as far as the Universal Fan Con Fallout sort of thing. Uh-huh. See if you can find a last minute venue. Probably use every bit of contact that I possibly could. Contact Autobar, yeah, depending on where it is. If it's in DC, maybe contact Black Cat. Maybe reach out to some local venue groups or whatever it is. See if I can find a parking lot somewhere, and then just basically try and source absolutely every single thing I could. You know, go to Home Depot and buy every one of their folding tables and make sure to tell everybody, hey, you're absolutely putting tablecloths on these, and don't take the tags off because we're taking them back. And just basically, you do a pop-up event and you try, yeah, and see how much stuff you can source and just try and make it right with everybody, so this way you're not losing money and you basically just put out a big tip jar. That the way that Keith did it with Universal FanCon is the right way,
yeah,
to handle that. I mean, there's no way around it. The only other thing that you could possibly do is you do some sort of big online organization thing, but
that's tough.
I honestly think it's really tough, and I think having a physical presence there of just some sort of thing,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
even if it's just something as simple as, hey, so this thing completely fell apart. So what we're going to do is I rented a pavilion at a park that's closest to it. There's an adjacent field. We're going to lay out all of your tablecloths out on the ground, and you're going to have table spaces there. We all got a bunch of some money together. We're going to do hot dogs and sodas and stuff like that. We're going to sell hot dogs for 50 cents, sodas for 50 cents, and try and recoup some of the cost of all the venue stuff. And you're going to try and sell stuff, and we're going to try and make it right. And worst case scenario, everyone's going to hang out. We're going to play cornhole. We're going to have some sodas and some beer, and we're going to have a family day.
And if the cops come and ask for our licenses, we'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, more importantly, we rented the pavilion. We did it completely legally. Like, you can just contact the park service and just rent pavilions doing any sort of event. Yeah. Like, you do it that way. And you only just basically, like, as far as all your table stuff, maybe it's just donation only. Suggested donation is this. And you figure out what you're doing.
Yeah. I think it was going to take place in the Rockville Marriott or wherever, like in this area.
Right.
Wheaton Regional Park is close. They have pavilions you can rent. Cabin John Park is also close. They have pavilions you can rent. Cabin John Park is also near Montgomery Mall. So like that takes care of your food. Like people can just head out to food. There are also Monica, when she was still in the area, she organized Be More Into Comics, and a bunch of the bars that she talked to would be willing to open early because it's extra money for them. Like the wind up space would, oh no, wait, did the, oh,
I'm back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the wind up space, used to rent out, open early for us to do Be More Into Comics there. Cause it's just like extra money for them.
Yeah.
So I think local bars would definitely be willing to jump in and do stuff like that.
I mean, and that would be the other thing, Jamie, is that we would have the ability, like let's say we did the Art Fight Con or something like that, and for some reason we lost our whatever it is with the hotel or something like that, some insurance, blah, 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 something dumb.
Yeah.
You know, we got bumped for something, we got double booked or something, whatever it is, no problem. We would probably just contact someone like Autobar or someone like Metro Gallery and every local band that we have friends with and just say, hey, let's do a big show.
Yeah.
Just come hang out, bring your merch, and just let's just do one big show and we'll just come hang out and do the thing there. Like
go to the rooftop. do a con at a parking lot.
Yeah, do a con at a parking lot, whatever. Like I like to believe that if we had the opportunity to just go, hey, this sucks, there's no wrong answer here, let's see what sticks and what we can get together, and the answer is never, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I think that would be the game plan, and I don't think there would be a whole lot of debate otherwise. I mean, it's got me honestly thinking it'd be a hell of a lot of fun if we just invited out a bunch of bands that we know and we actually just do that one time. But yeah. I honestly don't want to plan a convention. It sounds like a terrible idea. no interest.
Well, cons used to be just like, you know, rent a ballroom at a hotel, show up and hang out. They didn't used to be so guest heavy. Like, you know, if you were I remember going to like science fiction conventions where it was basically a glorified artist alley, and you just go and you hang out and talk about nerdy shit with other people. I mean, right. It's only been in the recent set of conventions that have popped up that have been like so super guest heavy. But like before all this shit, like you rent a hallway and you hang out in the hallway and you do your thing.
But the whole point of that though is that had to morph over time.
Yeah.
Now that I can order everything online, I don't have a reason to go wander around a crowded hallway with that's why I don't understand how SPX works. Because I could literally just take the list of artists that they offer, start Googling all of them, check their websites, and place a bunch of orders, and never ever have to climb my way through the mountain of sweaty flannel clad humanity that is SPX. It's good for the artists and the creators, and it's good to get your stuff signed by them, and it's good to support them. The people that go to that show fucking suck, and I don't mind being on record about it. They all dress exactly like this. They have no boundaries of personal space. No one ever says excuse me, and those aisles are way too small. That con is far too small for its size.
Yeah.
It just is. I am happy, genuinely happy, that they end up supporting some smaller creators. And I've gone on record as my issue with their lottery system. I don't know, man. Like, with the way that everything changes, conventions have to provide you an experience that you can't get on the internet, and that is meeting the people that you see on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the frontier at this point. Like, the other stuff is cool, and I get it, and it's the natural way that things go, but genuinely, I could see there being a convention that is strictly just panels and meet and greets, and that's it. And maybe like a couple big vendor spaces that sell like all the Marvel gear and everything else like that.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's kind of what RaffleCon was the couple times we did RaffleCon.
That would make sense. But like C2E2, the last time we went, really felt more like that than anything else. Yeah, half of it was booth space. It was meet and greet spaces that were there. And then a bunch of promotional stuff for a bunch of places, like big, big booths for like, you know, Dark Horse and Marvel and DC. And then a couple for like the We Love Fine People that do all of the merchandising for it. And that's about it. Like the Artist Alley was not very big.
That's true.
And it had a couple like niche cool brand things, but not a ton of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. Like, I could see that being the way the conventions go in the very near future.
Just like meet and greets and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people genuinely would go to a convention to go to Artist Alley. I think once you're there, you'd explore it just because it's a thing. But it's not it's an added value, not a reason to go for most people, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Baltimore does it really well. Baltimore Comic Con.
And that's something that doesn't interest me in the least.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job of keeping it. If they do have special guests, it's always comic related people. Like, they haven't gone so media heavy where they have like the actors and directors and all this kind of stuff. It's always people who draw the thing or write the thing.
I get that, and I'm sure there's a market for that, but that means that they'll never outgrow the Baltimore Convention Center.
Yeah, that's true.
It means that slowly, as other more popular cons are around them, like an Awesome Con, they'll slowly die like everything else that refuses to change over time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an argument to be had that there is a market for this stuff that is adjacent. Like, if you want to say that you're a comic convention and then you invite people who are part of comic book films and TV shows and you stick it to that, then yeah, I get it. Like, but at a certain point, you're just being a curmudgeon just to be a curmudgeon.
That's true.
Like, that's why SPX is so kind of hipster centric, where it's like there's a clientele that definitely caters to it, but they're purposely not going for a larger venue.
Yeah.
They're just purposely not going for a larger clientele. They want to feel exclusive. They want it to feel like an event. They want to make sure that it, like, it is a very cultivated experience in that sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's the longevity for a Baltimore Comic Con with the way things go. I think it's either got to be way more niche like an SPX or way more mainstream like an Awesome Con. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, to go back, how would you end up doing it? Like
I agree. Like I would be, well, first of all, I would call all the vendors on the list and I would say,
oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Are we going to go through the logistics of that stuff?
Yeah. Well, I would split it. I would get you on the phone and I would say, okay, Brandon, you call the vendors or Brandon, you talk to venues. Me, I will call the vendors and we'll say, we're going to pool our efforts. This is our plan. We're going to hit this place. If they say no, we're going to hit this other place. If they say no, we're going to hit this other place. If they say no, and just make sure everybody's collective together in a physical spot. Because the first thing people did was they said, we're going to set up this Facebook thing. And I was like, I don't think that's going to get you as much as a physical spot. Like, it's nice-ish outside. Find a park. Set up in the park. Set up in the, you know.
Find a venue. Rent a hotel ballroom.
Yeah. Rent a ballroom.
There are other hotels in Rockville. That's You're true. D.C. adjacent. Are you trying to tell me that in nowhere in D.C. no one is willing to break out a credit card and have the vendors get together and literally just do a gorilla con?
Why I love that idea from that guy who was trying to rent that presidential suite that fell through. Right. But that's a great idea.
Right, but I can tell you right now, I can guarantee you, it had nothing to do with them not being able to get the right room or whatever it is. I'm sure that's what they were told. The second the hotel finds out that you're trying to run a business out of their presidential suite and turn it into basically a ballroom, they're going to tell you fuck no because it breaks fire code. We're in a ballroom adult. Like, that's...
Or like the back room at some restaurant
or
something.
I'm going to be baller and I'm going to rent the presidential suite and then we're going to have hot tubs there and then we're going to have the vendors. No, you are not. No, no one outside of Caesar's Palace wants to deal with your hangover fantasy, friend. No one.
Yeah, but yeah, I would be calling physical places because you need a physical place. People have booked their hotel rooms. People have bought tickets, plane tickets. People are going to be coming to the city anyway. So if you give them a physical place to go, it's not going to be the same experience as the convention. But like what we saw with WakamaCon, people came. People showed up.
Right. Okay, so hang on a second. Before you get to that point, I think we need to take a step back here.
Okay.
And let's cover a few things. One, you need to issue a fucking statement of personal accountability of what happened.
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah.
What happened? We couldn't do this because of this.
Yeah.
Due to a lack of funding in ticket sales, we missed a payment. Unfortunately, this is what's happening. With the money that we have, if you would like to continue to be at this con, we are able to go out of pocket and book this ballroom at an adjacent hotel.
Yeah.
We are honoring all tickets.
But because of this...
This will be the last regeneration who.
Yeah.
We apologize for this, but we owe it to you to make it right. You then, as an adult and as a business owner, you liquidate your assets and you pay for the thing because you made a commitment to pay for the thing.
Right, but
and you can't
out. But that's not where we're at because we're not running the show. We're approaching this as if we're vendors and we're fucked.
Oh, okay. So that's the idea. Okay.
Yeah.
So then realistically, okay. So let me ask your opinion here.
Okay.
You're a vendor, right? Yes,
I'm a vendor.
You've done a lot of shows. I've done a lot of shows.
Yes.
Show cancels 1 week out.
I am pissed.
You've spent personal money to bulk up stock for this show because you think that you're going to do well, right? Yes. You made a personal risk.
Yes.
Now, mind you, you could end up eating shit on that personal risk regardless.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. So you're aware of the potential for that. But let's say you assume that you're going to make back at least cost on this. You may not make a whole lot of money. You may end up with a lot of products sitting around. But, like, you're not going to necessarily lose money.
Right.
The convention cancels a week out. Do you put them on blast?
I put them on blast in the sense that I would put them on blast. I would say, this is fucked up. We need more information. And this is what I'm personally going to do about it. And then I would say, I'm looking for such and such a place to do. Like, I'm trying to, you know, I would put them on blast and I would lead it to whatever I was planning to do. And I would call you up. I would call Keith up and I'd say, look, a whole bunch of us are getting fucked. Can we do something? Can we, you know, do our plan? Can we Comic-Con this basically? But yeah, okay. I would definitely put them on blast because it's a week out. Something broke somewhere along the line. You knew that before a week out. Like, it's not a mystery. If things got so bad that you made the calculation that it was better for you to quit a week out, that's not news to you.
No.
You knew that shit. And so, of course, I would put them on blast. I would put them on blast. But I would try to frame it in a way that it would be like, this sucks. I'm getting fucked. I'm going to try to unfuck this. If you are interested in helping me out, let's go here. And that's the way I would try to frame it. I try to frame it. In the situation, I would be very heated though.
Okay. All right. So then there's no hesitation in your brain that there may be negative blowback or anything else like that. Like, we're leaning into the idea that this is the new normal and we can just, like, I'm not criticizing this, I'm more just making an open statement.
Yeah.
We've accepted that this is the new normal, and the acceptable procedure for something like this is to go online. Name them. Do not hesitate to explain how pissed off you are. Do not hesitate to explain your personal situation, and then immediately go, cool, now, because they suck, I have to do their job. Here's what's going on. I'm reaching out to the following people. Mm-hmm. Hang tight for updates. We're going to see if we can get something together. And you basically just flip the switch on with the lighthouse.
Yeah.
And you are calling all ships.
Yeah.
And you are ready to just go, yep, you know what, we're going to be the beacon of light here.
Yeah.
And we're going to take handle of this.
I'm calling all my favors. I'm handing in all my chips. Any favor I've done for anyone ever, I'm calling them. I'm calling people I haven't talked to in a while. If they have, like, access to something that I could use to make this happen, I'm calling all the people we've ever worked with. I'm calling, like, you know, all points beacon. I'm making things. I'm telling everybody we can. This is gonna suck. It's not gonna be the same thing, but we need to fix this. And I would go that way. And then the next year, I'd be like, I'm not doing any more shows ever again because I've just killed myself trying to unfuck this one.
I think that's really kind of my point. Is like,
yeah.
Why would I do this?
I mean, I would do that. I would do it out of a sense of community, because even though, like, you know, if there's $100 walking around in a show, you want that $100. You don't want your friend,
right?
You know, you don't want your neighbor to do. But we're the way I look at it is we're all kind of in the same boat. You know, if you're a vendor at a show, there's a certain camaraderie that exists between, and like, I never want to see, I might not like the person I'm sitting next to, or I might not like a certain vendor at a certain show, but I don't want to see anyone get fucked. Like,
right, okay.
If you're not selling, it's because, you know, whatever, but like, I don't want people to get fucked because of things that are outside their purview. Like, a show cancels on you. That's not something you can control. If you're not selling because you're on your phone all day, that's your fucking fault.
Right. But if you're going out of pocket to make this right, and somebody who is a vendor at this show says, I want to be involved in this, you can very quickly go to the bad guy by saying, hey, I need some sort of reimbursement for the upfront cost.
Mm.
I mean, how many times are you guys going to have to take it on the chin before somebody else has to foot the bill? And why should it be you?
I don't know. I mean, that's how I would approach it. Like, if God forbid.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, you're at Regeneration Who, right? You're a vendor at Regeneration Who.
Right.
You find out everything that's happening. Yeah. You immediately go into, okay, let's circle the wagons. Let's figure out a game plan. You get a venue together and you say, hey, I got this hotel, this ballroom. It's going to cost us $1,000 to book for the day. And, you know, they'll let us sell here and yada, yada, yada. How do we pay for it? If no one raises their hand, are you going $1,000 out of pocket? Do you expect the vendors around you to chip in a bit?
I would expect some assistance. Like, right. Like if I would hope that the group that I would assemble would be all in, meaning, you know, if it's $1,000, we all split it, whatever we could afford, because it's taken a lot of money to get to the point where we're going to do the show. We're already out of pocket already to put in more money to make this thing that might not work seem stupid. But I would hope that the people I surround myself with would be willing to you know, put a little give and take. So I would hope that they would be able to afford to throw in a little bit more.
Okay.
Like,
do you think that money would be better spent going after the person organizing the con to make sure that you get reimbursed for everything?
See, I don't know, because I think when it comes to like hiring lawyers and shit, I think the amount of time it would take and the amount of expense it would take and the amount of headache it would take, it might be like a year or two before you see anything. Meanwhile.
Right, but what you're saying is let's say table fee is $300 per artist alley table or something like that.
Yeah.
You're essentially telling me that you're left with two options. One, you go out of pocket once again and ask your friends, fellow vendors, to go out of pocket to then have a guerrilla show that will have at best half of the volume of people there.
Yeah.
Or you're asking them to go in with you for a legal defense fund to go after this person to then spend thousands of dollars, not $1,000, to then go try and get your $300 back because this person can't manage everything.
Yeah.
There is a genuine racket that can be happening here that could be something as simple as this person realized that they don't want to deal with this convention anymore and they're kind of done with it. And they just decided that they're just going to keep everybody's money and be done, because who has the liquid cash to go after this person to handle the problem?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no one, like, unless you're fighting like the celebrity guests, like you wouldn't be able to end an awesome con and not pay back the celebrity guests.
Right.
But if we're talking about Artist Alley people, you don't have the legal funds to go after something the size of an Awesome Con, for example. Not saying that Awesome Con would ever do that, but like, we there's no bandwidth for that.
Well, I would never go the legal route, mostly because it's I would look at it
as the right thing to do.
I don't know. I
mean, I feel like there's more justification here in openly saying, hey, I paid X number of dollars to be a vendor at this thing, and this dude bailed on us. He's not responding to anything, and I expect to get reimbursed, and I think the rest of you should expect to get reimbursed as well. And there's no reason why, because that money's already been accounted for. That money's going somewhere. I want my reimbursement. It almost feels like the focus should be more spent on the groundswell to get your money back, not just for vendors, but for everybody who bought a ticket.
I see,
like,
what you're saying.
The first thing is, like, if I'm a vendor, like, let's say I spent $1,000 on a vendor booth space or something like that. Like, I'm going all in. I'm going hard. It's a pretty nice size con.
Yeah.
I'm finding out where the office is located, and I'm going down there. And I don't care if it's in New York City. I'll drive the couple hours up there.
New York City.
You're going to deal with me and my pace picante ass. Like, make no mistake. Because that's the idea. Like, this is the thing, is the solutions that we're coming up with, while honorable and really cool, are great. I don't actually get anything back. There's no justice in this social justice that we're trying to get. Like, we can tweet at them, we can Facebook message them, and we can Instagram them and put them on blast and cut a scathing YouTube video, and everyone can sit at home and go, oh, that sucks, thoughts and prayers, maybe I'll buy something on your line or your website. But, like, that ain't going to get you paid, and it's not going to get you reimbursed, more importantly. And I'd rather lose $100 in travel to go up there and demand my check than lose $100 to sit behind a table to talk about how much this all sucks.
Well, see, the thing is, from my perspective, the legal fees might outstrip whatever I would get back.
I'm talking about going there. You want to do something interesting. You don't put together a Comic-Con or whatever it is. You put together a road trip.
You go up to their office and demand.
And you go to their office, 15 or 20 of you. And you demand your reimbursement.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a legal address. I'd want to know where it is. I'd want to find out what's going on with it. The thing that I haven't seen out of anybody on this so far is, where the fuck is my money?
There have been a lot of
that. Right, but where is it past the social media outrage?
Yeah.
Who's drafting letters? Who's openly said that they've contacted attorneys? Who's actually going after the person or persons in charge?
There's a thread. There's a thread on one of them.
Like a thread, but like,
yeah, like a couple lawyers have chimed in and they're like, we might put together something. But yeah, there's
good.
There's stuff.
That's the part I'm interested in. That's the thing. Like, I'm not interested. I'm so done with this. Like, that sucks.
Kind of tired of the grassroots.
Yes, man. Like, the grassroots are great, but they don't actually get anybody elected unless somebody shows up and votes.
Yeah.
I want to get some people and put them into a church bus and go to goddamn polls. Just get them a church bus. Like, that's what we're doing right now. Get in the van.
Get your money back. You want to get in the van and get the money back. And yeah, I want to do more work, which is probably why I'm where I'm at.
Mind you, I'm here helping you do work, so I'm not much better than work. But I'm just saying, like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm tired of this, like, mentality that happens sometimes with this stuff. Yeah. I want to see somebody genuinely get fucking mad, because I can very easily go, you know what? Yeah, Jamie, you do your thing. If it's $1,000 or whatever it is, I got a hundo for you, no problem. But the day after,
we're going.
Or hell.
Yeah.
We're going.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So try and make some money at this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
We could do
both. Try and make some money at this thing, because when we're done, I'm going around the room as everything's happening, and I'm going, I got a van out back.
Yeah.
I got a clipboard. I've got an attorney working pro bono I've contacted.
Yeah.
We're going after this dude. We're going down there with signatures and bodies, because we're getting paid.
I think you can do both. I think we could do both.
I think we can do both.
I think you do both.
I think we have to do both.
Yeah, because it's fucked up. And in the absence of any information, all the speculation and all this stuff is going to keep going until somebody says something official. And even then, you got to get your money back. Especially fans especially fans who've put out thousands of dollars with no expectation of getting any of that back, to have an experience. That's fucked.
Right.
Like, a vendor puts out $1,000, they're expecting to get two or three back, because that's the way this works. A fan going to the show, dumping $1,000, that's an experience to them, and they're never getting that back.
Right. Now, they can probably get reimbursed, or they can probably get most of the hotel fee back and everything else like that. So they're going to get a portion of their money back. But until this convention takes personal accountability and personal responsibility and starts refunding people out of what they have, people are losing money.
Yeah.
Genuinely losing money for this stuff. And imagine if you're a real hardcore Doctor Who fan, right?
Yeah.
And your significant other and your two kids that you managed to get into Who, that you used to watch old school Who, and now they started getting into it around the David Tennant time.
That's one of my friends, actually. And you all are
going to do family activities. And now you've got not one, not two, not three, but four badges over two or three days at what I'm assuming to be minimum $50 a piece.
Yeah.
You're looking at $200 that you're out of pocket.
Yeah.
And you're left sitting at home going, I got it as liquid cash, but boy, I could have used that to go do something else cool for the family.
And that doesn't even count like all the money that they would spend on a costume or all the money they would spend on like all the special events like tea time with the doctor or like the autograph sessions or the photo sessions.
Right. And have they prepaid for all that stuff? Who did they prepay to?
Yeah.
Like, you're creating a web of money that I want to know who's accountable for it, and I want to know when and how all of the reimbursements are happening. I want my goddamn movie check. I deserve to be reimbursed, and I think there needs to be something here. That's really my outrage here. Not that it happened, not that somebody sucks, because like I said right out of the gate, I can very easily determine how it happened and how you fix it. Don't be a fucking asshole. I'm more interested in how people get reimbursed. How do you get whole again financially, so this way you can start really being whole financially?
Yeah.
Because there are vendors out there, vendors who we know, that even when and if they get their table space back, that's 1/10 of the total cost of money that they spent for this show, because they budgeted things out and because their side hustle is a good portion of their monthly income.
Yeah, and an Etsy thing it's going to help, but it's not going to make up for being there with fans and making that money.
It ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Because there are people who don't know who the fuck you are who walk past and see the thing and decide to do that. You cannot do that on the internet. You can't.
Yeah.
You genuinely can't.
And we're going to push it as hard as we can, but it's still fucked, man.
It doesn't change the fact that someone needs to take accountability for it.
Yeah.
And frankly, I double back to the thing. It needs to be the person who fucked it up.
Yeah. And we're not going to get that. We're never going to get that information.
No, we're never going to get that.
We're never going to get that.
Like, I know I feel like I cracked open some sort of conspiracy theory Pandora's box about conventions being a racket. They are. But the whole thing seems like it'd be a very easy way to just bilk a bunch of people out of money. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Like, all that Kickstarter Universal FanCon money, what happened to it?
It's gone.
Gone where?
I don't know. Vendors got paid. I got reimbursed, but I don't know if fans did. I don't know if fans did, and that sucks.
I would hope they would. I mean, Kickstarter has to have some sort of legal thing. No, that's right.
No, they don't. Because
you end up making. That's right. Yeah, I mean, you're out.
Yeah.
Every one of those fans is out.
Yeah.
Man, don't trust anybody.
Yeah, shit, I guess.
I don't know what to tell you.
Like, I always caution people when they start out to look at conventions that have a track record. Like, if it's the first year of a convention, maybe go, but don't vend. And in this situation, you know, Regen had been around for years. So when someone says, I'm going to vend at Regen, sure, that's fine. It's been here for, like... They have a track record. Now you can't even say that. Now I can't even tell people that. Like when they're starting out. The only convention that you can count on is the one that you put on. Like be more into comics.
No,
or like,
no, that's not true. I don't think that's true. I think a marketable, well-known name that just has years of being around will be reliable. They will operate potentially in some cases like a 600-pound gorilla, but know that you're dealing with something big. We've had both good and bad experiences with Otakon, and we've gone on record about those. We've had great experiences with AwesomeCon right from the get, and have continued to have great experiences with them. We started with them when they were small. We're with them now when they're gigantic. We just announced today our show coming up there, and we've always been treated great, and there have been management changes and ownership changes, and we still have always been treated fairly by the staff, by the management, by everyone, because they're responsible owners. They continue to sell and operate under responsible owners, and they have a vested interest in doing well because their name is their capital. Mm-hmm. Your name and brand recognition are the only reason that you continue to get guests and continue to make money.
Yeah.
So if these convention owners are willing to just throw that in the toilet, I think that's everything you need to hear. The other thing I think people need to take in mind is more to your point. If you have the inkling of a bad experience with management in any way, shape, or form, contracts change last minute, something seems a little hinky, the budget starts to really get cut back in certain experiences, and everybody seems to do the, I don't know, man, I don't know what happened. Like we've had a previous, you know, we've had an experience with a convention more recently that's like, hey, how you guys doing? What's going on? Crickets, crickets, crickets. Hey, you guys want to do a thing? Crickets, crickets, crickets. And then you start to ask around, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, wholesale management change. Things are really shifting around. Should be for the better. Oh, the numbers are down? Oh, yeah, no, wholesale management change. It's not a big deal, yada, yada, yada. They changed their policy about, you know, coming to the con and badges and stuff like that. Oh, attendance is really down? Oh, okay, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Like, yeah. Eventually – people will stop paying you if you stop giving them the experience that they want.
Yeah.
And you have to be smart enough to realize that even in a scenario where people volunteer, you can still let someone with some bad instincts really drag the whole ship down, no matter how big it is.
Yeah.
So if you go to a con, if you table at a con, if you've performed at a con, if you're, you know, if you've given a convention money and something doesn't feel right, and you ask them what's up, and they give you a cagey answer, you need to think long and hard about giving them money in the future. Mm-hmm. Because it is your only weapon against their decision making. That's it. They will operate without you most likely, but when it's you and your friend and your friend's friend and your friend's friend's friends, and you start to multiply that, and one person turns into 100, turns into 1,000, that sort of thing makes a difference. Especially when a convention has capacity of, let's say, 10,000 people, and they suddenly only sell 9,000 badges, you better believe they're noticing, and they're asking the question, what happened?
Uh-huh.
And there's a ton of finger pointing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like the important thing is know who you're getting into business with, whether you're a vendor or whether you're just a con goer. If it seems hinky, if it seems podunk, if it seems like you paid a lot of money and you didn't get a whole lot and you basically are at the convention version of the Fyre Festival ball pit, ask yourself that question. Should I be giving these people money again? Should I be demanding a refund?
Yeah.
Like if you walk up to a place and it's like, no, this is Hapdash, demand a refund. If someone starts giving you guff saying, no, that's not how we operate, go on Facebook Live and demand a refund.
Yeah.
Stopping you from firing up your webcam and saying, put them on blast. Fuck it. Let them deal with all that shit. Like, it sounds terrible to say, but genuinely, if somebody came to an Art Fight show and they said, this sucks and I want my money back, okay. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
But I'd hand them back their cash and it would be a done deal. And I would hope that the end response from them would be, they sucked, but at least I got my money back. Okay. and at least then I can genuinely say if somebody responds to it, it was, this person seemed unhappy with our performance or our show. We respectfully disagree with their viewpoint on it. However, we gave them a 100% refund, and we hope that they give us another opportunity to do better in the future.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. Communication.
Communication and ownership. It's not that hard.
There's a, I used to be part of a service fraternity in college, and we had this phrase at all like the leadership events and like training. It was like, bad communication, problems grow, good communication, people grow. And I think this situation is definitely a case of that, because the less they say, the longer it goes, the worse it is becoming.
Yeah, but at a certain point, it becomes noise. And we're getting to about that point where now it's just an angry mob shouts about thing on the internet.
Yeah.
There's a law of diminishing returns with the angry mob, especially now.
Unless they start getting in that van.
Unless you get a van.
Get that van.
Some of us may be getting a van. I don't know who, but some of us might be getting a van. To gather some kids together to go searching for a certain person or persons to get your check.
Well, the thing is, that's all public record, so they can easily find where to go.
Yep. Yep. Wonders of the internet. It's about time we stopped pissing and moaning on Twitter and started showing up places.
Yeah. Where's our check? Where's our check?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You want to talk about turning the internet into a real, real place? When I hop on an Instagram video, knocking on your front door, tagging you in the video, and I'm on Instagram Live going, "Hey, I want my check. You owe me a refund. I'm not leaving without my refund."
Yeah.
You want to talk about viral? You want to talk about not taking any guff? Yeah. That's the idea. I want a little more personal accountability on the internet. That's why I put my name on my stuff.
Where'd the money go? Where'd the money go? Where'd the money go?
And where's it going now? Put your name on it. Don't steal somebody else's name and their business while you're at it.
Yeah, there's a whole... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, I think we've done as much damage as we're going to do.
We probably do, and if that person ends up ever seeing this and would like to challenge me to an argument or a fist fight, I don't even know what they look like anymore at this point, but fuck it, why not? We'll do it for charity. It'll be fun. Matter of fact, that actually goes for anybody who decides they want to be an asshole on the internet. I'll gladly sign a waiver. We can go 5 rounds in an octagon for charity. Totally. I'll gladly get punched in the face for 5 rounds for charity.
There's a whole subgenre of YouTube that is that, so...
Okay, can we just do it with like nerds? Like, because I'm into that. Like, that just gives me something to go to the gym for. Like, forget fitness. If I'm actually going to the gym to try and bust some nerd ass, I'm in. Let's do that. Let's bring the fight back in Super Art Fight. It's about time.
just have Brandon punching dudes. Just.
Look, all I know is I'd be the only person on our roster who's actually clear with the State Athletic Commission. And that's a gimmick. That right there, that's a gimmick.
Oh, my God. That'd be funny as shit. It'd be terrible, but yep. It'd be funny as shit.
Yep. Won my first and only match, only art fighter with the State Athletic Commission. That's right. Holla at you, boy.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to start putting these up like the night of – we shoot it, so it's gonna go up sometime tonight. Because I keep forgetting. I usually do it at the end of the week, but the end of the week has gotten busier and busier and busier. So like,
well, also this one's timely.
This one is timely. So like, yeah. Good luck to everyone who's trying to make good out of this shitty situation. I feel for everybody involved.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really sad. Like, I'm more sad than pissed. I'm a little pissed, but I'm really sad because it sucks. I mean, people had a lot of fun at this thing, and you know, it sucks.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. By the way, if you're looking to actually get some blowback on this one, we should totally post this thing in all the forums and threads. I don't know if anybody will actually sit through the hour plus of you and I digging into this, but I have a feeling my opening line of "don't be fucking awful" may end up getting some attention.
Well, I do repost this on Facebook, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Kids, feel free to share this if you get to the opportunity. We should probably tag the con in it.
God. All right. Well,
we people. All right. Yeah. Move right along.
Brandon, where can people find you?
Because I put my name on it. You can find me at That Guy Chalmers on Instagram. You can search Brandon Chalmers in any sort of Facebook thing or YouTube thing or whatever it is. You'll find my shining face. You can find me at Super Art Fight. We've got a couple shows coming up, but the one that we've been talking about during the show, you can find us at Awesome Con, which is going to be super duper rad, coming up the weekend of April 26th. If you haven't gotten tickets to Awesome Con yet, please do so. We are going to be potentially, we have not released a schedule or gotten one really 100% locked in, but to my understanding, we're going to be performing all weekend.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of shows, man.
We're doing a lot of shows is my understanding. So not an official announcement of our schedule, but if you're into adult programming, we're doing a bit of that. If you're into regular programming, we're doing a bit of that. If you're into our home game, we're doing a bit of that. If you're into kids doing Art Fight, we may be doing a little bit of that too. We are running double, triple, quadruple duty at a one Awesome Con. We love that con.
They treat us well.
We're giving back.
Yeah.
They treat us well. And that's the idea. Treat people well who treat you well. This is how a business relationship works. Yeah. So you can find us there. Jamie Noguchi, where can they find you?
Wherever you see this posted, YouTube, on Twitter, Angry Zen Master. On Facebook, Jamie Noguchi, but I usually just friend people I've actually met. So, and then, yeah, that's pretty much it. All right. This is going to go.